Hush.
Blog Talk Radio.
Conservative Talk Radio. My name is Tracy.
And I'm just plain Bill.
And we're going to have a little bit of a conversation about a whole lot of stupidity that's occurring today and yesterday and all of last week in
yep.
what we joyfully consider to be our adult conservative, our adult Congress.
Okay. I think maybe you'd have to be a member of Congress to think of that as an adult Congress.
Well, you know, being a member of Congress definitely requires adult beverages.
True.
Lots of adult beverages.
Yes. Yeah.
Otherwise, people think you're starting acting weird.
Yeah. Oh,
evening, Bill. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm watching it snow.
Snow? No.
Snow.
No. Yesterday we had our first day in 98 days where the entire day was above freezing.
Really?
24 hours above freezing. First time in 98 days.
That's cool. You're ready to play golf.
Well.
Yeah, maybe not quite yet. Okay.
Well, let me tell you. You know what happens after 90 days of snow on the ground?
It's cold.
No, when it melts, you find out exactly why they clean the streets every week.
Ah, got it.
Ooh, yuck. You know, that's what I told CJ on Sunday. We were getting ready to go out to church. I said, she goes, it's going to be warm all week? I said, yeah, it's going to be warm all week. And I said, it's going to smell bad.
Yep.
Really, really bad. For days, it's going to smell bad. I said, we're going to come out here and you're going to go, oh, my God. It's going to be just like, it's not going to be polite. It's just, and then it's not. It's stinks to hell out there.
You
know, we need a good couple days of solid rain to kind of wash away some of the dirt.
Wash it all down. What causes the smell?
Huh?
What causes the smell?
It's doggy poop. It's animal poop. It's dead food. It's
yep.
dirt, it's rotting, mm-hmm. you know, plant life, you know, that's been buried under the snow, you know, for months, and now it's getting warm, and it's wet,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it mm-hmm. stinks.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You need a really good couple of days worth of solid rain. You look at the streets, and you see tire tracks in the streets. When it's perfectly dry, because the dirt off the ruts is, you know, noticeably.
Yeah.
So,
we
had some rain here today, but it was just a real light drizzle. Useless.
Well, I mean, this isn't. Well, actually, it's getting heavier. I don't expect we're going to get more than an inch or two, though. That's.
But it's a spring snow.
Oh yeah. I mean,
so it'll melt tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know,
it may not even accumulate enough to notice. But that's okay. I'll take all the moisture I can get.
Let me answer somebody here. Louis, I'm not sure if they're listening to the right show. You are. It's the right show. It's okay. This is the right one. all right. Speaking of
yes.
adult Congress.
Yes.
Lots of people have been talking today about Nancy Pelosi talking about how we have to pass the law so we can see what's inside it.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that. You betcha.
Okay. You know what? Ignore that. I mean, the stupidity of that particular, you know, statement, you know, is obvious on its face. There was something else that followed it shortly right after that. There was much more telling as far as things are concerned. She said that the health care reform is much more about diet than about diabetes.
Huh?
Think about that. Healthcare reform is much more about the government controlling your diet than taking care of your diabetes.
Huh.
Now, that's what we've all been saying, is that, that healthcare reform is a way for government to control our personal lives.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Yeah. So, you know, it is... It is clear that even in their most unguarded moments, it is clear that they want control over us.
Oh.
This has nothing about solving health care problems or fixing health care insurance issues. This is how can we control individuals.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
How can we dictate their behavior? And I don't understand why people on the left don't get it unless they are actually okay with government dictating behavior.
Well, and that's not the only area. I mean, you know, look at the Antiquities Act and what it's alleged that Obama is going to do with that. Another 10 million acres out of the West. Oh, surprise, surprise. That's all in the oil producing areas. Gosh, I wonder what they have in mind.
Well, it's the same thing as this new little thing that came up today about the Obama administration wanting 9 regional commissions to control all waterways.
Oh, yeah. You betcha.
Okay.
Get ready to turn in or register your fishing tackle, folks.
Look, I said this over the weekend. If Obamacare passes, I will no longer be a member of the loyal opposition.
Yep, I agree.
I will be an enemy of the state.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. Pitchfork and feathers time, folks.
No. Guns.
Well, that's for the far off work. I was thinking about the close up and personal stuff.
There's no member of Congress that I'm interested in getting that close to.
Okay. All right.
You know, consider me a germaphobe.
Yeah, right. Oh, not even with a 10-foot pole.
Keep it clean. Go off here.
Oh,
you know, it's just, you know, it is ridiculous. And, of course, you know, it is all a matter of control. And that's why I'm absolutely positively convinced that we, you and me,
mm-hmm.
and anybody that's listening, and anybody that should be listening, are still pussyfooting around this too much.
Yep. Absolutely.
You know, this is, you know, we are still screwing around with the edges of this attempt to, you know, to make it quite not as, you know, too much of the Republicans, too much of the right, wants to just do Obamacare light. You know, they want control, but they don't want the libs to have control.
Yes.
They want to have the control in the right areas, not in the areas that they think are wrong areas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, too much are we spending time going, I think government is spending too much money. You know, we should be spending less. What we should be saying is, government's too big, let's lop a head off or two.
Mm-hmm.
Take a division here, take a department there, take, you know, committee there.
Yeah, right.
You know, not cut their budget by 10%, not cut their budget by 20%, cut them out of the budget.
Period.
Yeah, just gone.
Gone.
Gone. You know?
Yep.
And too many people are interested in just screwing around the edges.
I know.
Get rid of it. Done. Finished. There's not a lot that government should be doing, and there's lots that we can cut off without having any impact on those particular areas.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, if you stop and think about it, who are the ones that are most interested in making sure that there are fish in the rivers? And frankly, yeah, that ought to devolve to the states, but it also ought to further devolve to the region. And I can look at my own area for that. And there's a lot of history in back of this, but to cut it short, what it says is this. We don't have any dams on the main stem of the Trinity. We don't have any dams on the South Fork of the Trinity. And we don't have any dams on the Hayfork Fork of the Trinity. So we've got a clear shot from my right back here and back of my house all the way down to the ocean. How come we don't have any salmon? How come we don't have salmon that people that I know, a little bit older than me, but nevertheless still alive, who talk about being able to walk across Hayfork Creek on the backs of the salmon? Now,
I don't know.
It isn't because we've got dams on that river, folks. It's because we allow gill netting. It's because we've got a whole industry of foreign intervention in our fisheries. There's a lot of reasons for it. It isn't because we don't have we've got dams on the river, because there aren't any. And that's just one example. And you can go on from there. You can talk about bear. You can talk about deer. You can talk about mountain lions, all of those things, and none of them have anything to do with what our government is doing today. Not a bit of it.
Think about this. What is the eco-freak's response to any, you know, situation? Is that humans have to leave it alone.
Yep. That's what they tell you. They're wrong, but that's what they tell you.
Okay. Now, we know that in fire zones, leaving it alone increases the risk of much, much bigger fires.
Yeah, absolutely. I had a half a million acres burn up here in Trinity County.
You know, if you leave certain populations of animals, you know, and I'm going to use here in Wisconsin, the problem is deer.
Mm-hmm.
You leave the deer population alone, what happens is it becomes so large that it begins, you know, encroaching into other areas. Now, of course, the liberals, the econ freaks would say, that's okay. The problem is when animals like that encroach into more urban areas, they start collecting diseases that didn't exist in the herds before.
Yep. Absolutely.
And we have a problem here in Wisconsin with a disease in the deer. And the way that we can get rid of the disease of the deer is to increase the hunt.
Yep.
You know, call the herds back down to more reasonable size. But people are stopping doing that because they've raised the cost of participating in the hunt so that the average person who used to engage in the hunt because they get their deer, and they would, you know, have the deer dressed for meat for the year. It's becoming too expensive for them to do it.
Absolutely.
So you end up with a situation where they really need the herd to be culled, but they're making it so that there's less people interested in doing it. You know, I do believe that, you know, good conservatives tend to be good stewards of the land.
Yes, they do.
And eco-freaks are not stewards of the land.
Absolutely not. I have a really good friend of mine, a guy by the name of John Rourke, has a ranch. Actually, he and his son have a ranch. Big ranch for around here. And they raise some cattle. They also have some guided shooting opportunities for deer. Trophy deer. Well, they're not quite trophy, but they're close. If the eco-freaks had their way, all of that would be gone. And yet, who is it that provides a habitat for California mountain quail, for coyotes, for fishers, for martens, for beavers, and all of those other critters that have got to have the habitat? And it's people like John Rourke that do that. It is not the people that, in the case of California, say, oh, gosh, let's pass a thing and say we're going to protect mountain lions. They didn't do a thing for the mountain lions. Not a thing. And it isn't their kids that are going to get stalked by them at the bus stops. And that's happened right here in Trinity County. Yeah.
Hello.
So we developed the 3S rule. Shoot, shovel, and shut up.
I like that.
Yeah.
Like
you
that.
Betcha.
All right. So we already know that the Obama administration has no desire to pay the slightest bit of attention to politics.
Nope, sure don't.
Or to people. Now,
nope.
You and I have had this discussion before. I'm gonna say it again. Okay. On principle, I don't care if a president ignores the population of the United States.
Okay.
I am a firm believer that if the president is doing the right thing, and the American people don't have the stomach for it, the president should tell the American people to shut up and leave him alone.
Okay.
I don't actually recommend that he actually get onto, you know, national TV and say, shut up, I'm going to do this because it's the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what he should do, is ignore the polls and do what is right. So when we went into a war and the people started saying, bring them home, he went, you don't do that.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Okay. So, on that basis, you know, if the position that the president is taking is a principled one, then I don't have any problem with him ignoring the American public.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the question is the position that Barack Obama has taken on health care a principled one? Now, people would say, well, it's in accordance with his principles. And that might be perfectly true.
That could be.
But unfortunately, as President of the United States, the principles to which he is bound to are the ones espoused by our Constitution. And by that criteria, those principles are not being adhered to by Barack Obama. And he has no reason to be telling the American people to shut up.
Absolutely.
Other than the fact that it's what he wants to do.
Yep. I agree.
I said something today. In a battle for this country, I'll take a Bible thumper with a gun over a liberal and a handkerchief any day.
Yeah. A white handkerchief, right? Yeah, okay.
One of the things that came up in some of the discussion that was going on, maybe it was a trial, it was suggested that it was a trial balloon that came up yesterday or maybe this morning, that in order to get around the healthcare mandates being applied to businesses.
Mm-hmm.
They're afraid businesses will hire more part-timers.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yep, saw that.
So they're going to force businesses to count part-timers as, you know, it's like two part-timers are going to be equal to one full-timer.
Let's say,
how fast can you kill McDonald's?
Oh, boy. Big time. Right now.
Any fast food place, most retail places, you know, virtually any kind, would take a huge hit by that kind of thing. Especially if they're fairly large staffed places.
Yeah.
You know, McDonald's can run, you know, 70 or 80 part-timers with a permanent staff, you know, with a full-time staff of 4 or 5.
Yep, absolutely.
You know, treat McDonald's with 60 part-timers and 4 full-time managers. You know, then you're talking about 34 full-time employees. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I know the numbers of a McDonald's or a Burger King and what that would mean. It would be terrible. But somebody else, this entire healthcare debate, you know, has raised the issue of consent of the governed.
Yes, it has.
Which, of course, I haven't heard anybody use that in ever.
Yeah, really.
except for having come across the phrase sometime in my history lessons, you know, the idea that the United States government is in fact acting without the consent of the government has never been presented before.
No.
No matter how ridiculous the president and Congress have acted. But I think it's probably accurate at this particular point in time. But what I found to be rather interesting was somebody had wrote, 21% of the people think that the current government is acting with the consent of the governed.
Yes.
And he said he didn't realize how low that number really was until he compared it to this statistic. 32% of the people believe in alien abductions.
Oh, boy.
That means there are more people in this country that believe in alien abductions than believe the government currently in power is governing with the consent of the people.
Yep. Yep.
That's a pretty low number.
that's about as low as you can get. I mean, there may be, you know, some lower numbers out there, but that's really about as low as you can get.
I just find it, you know, there's so much at this point that you just have to shake your head about.
Yeah.
Prediction. Let's go back to the prediction list.
Okay, predictions.
The prediction list. Go back to our prediction show. Where was our prediction show? Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Got to find my prediction show. Here it is. Quick vote in the House on Senate healthcare bill passes. Okay, so it hasn't really been quick. But that's what I predicted, that the House would pass the Senate bill.
Okay.
Somebody that I know that's on the other side of the equation,
mm-hmm.
who's been very, very vocal, I asked today if she'd given up on the current legislative attempts on health care reform. And her response was, nope, it's a done deal.
Really?
Yep.
Huh.
I thought
yeah, I got the other side of that.
Yeah.
Yep. And my comeback to that is, gosh, if they had the votes, don't you think they'd have passed it already?
You know, that's kind of my position.
Yeah.
You know, because if you say you're going to do something, and you say you can do something, the question is, why aren't you doing something?
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah. You know? My only problem with that is you got Mo, Larry, and Curly running this country right now.
Yes, you do. With the Joker in the deck of Joe Biden.
Joe Biden.
Yeah, I know.
In Israel, pissing off the Israelis again.
Yeah.
Do you hear what he said?
No.
Israel has been planning some additional housing in East Jerusalem.
Right.
Been in the planning stages for a year and a half, 2 years.
Yeah.
Anyways, another bureaucratic hurdle has been completed, and it was announced that hurdle had been completed yesterday. And Joe Biden said that you can't trust the Israelis with actions like that.
Oh,
now,
Jesus.
That's a paraphrase. Oh, he basically
Jesus.
Said that they were untrustworthy because of stuff like that.
Oh, boy.
How to win friends and influence people.
Yeah. Okay. And because of his pronouncement, they're going to obviously drop the whole thing then, right?
Yeah. Somebody asked a question. Exactly, is there any... If I asked you, who would you say, of all the world leaders, who is George Bush a friend of? Would you say that he became a friend of another world leader?
No, I don't think I'd say he became a friend.
You don't think him and Tony Blair got along really well?
I think they got along, quote, okay. I think that they both recognized that their countries were on divergent courses. I think that Bush said, my overarching, absolute, ultimate goal is to keep America safe. And Blair, I think, said, you have to take risks to do that. And I think Bush replied to him, when it comes to the safety of the American people, I'm not prepared to take risks.
But he could have meant political risks.
Yeah.
The reason I bring it up is, is there anybody on the world stage that you would say, Barack Obama gets along with?
Nobody that I would be prepared to say that he actually got along with them.
See, that's kind of where I'm going. In some respects, how the leader goes, so does the country.
That's true.
And if Bush, pats Tony Blair on the back and brings him over to Cropper and, feeds him some barbecue and, it's all friendly and, smiles and stuff like that, that makes, the interaction between the two countries, much more congenial.
That's true. Yep.
And I can't think of anybody that would come to the United States right now and would be congenial with Barack Obama.
No.
And that's got to have an impact on our ability to deal with other countries.
Yes. Yep.
Which then, basically fills in the reason why the most recent poll that says Americans don't think we're in better you know, we're being considered more nicely by the rest of the world at this point.
Well, no. At least I don't think that we're being considered that way.
Yeah, I don't think we've made any friends with enemies, and we've certainly pissed off all of our friends.
Oh yeah, we have done that. Yes, we have.
Was that on Friday? I think it was on Friday. It was Friday. Turkey recalled their ambassador.
Really?
Yeah, you didn't hear that?
Somehow I got out of the loop on that one.
Turkey recalled its ambassador to the United States.
Ow.
Do you know why?
Okay, why?
Because a subcommittee in Congress approved a resolution. Subcommittee approved a resolution acknowledging the Armenian genocide.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Of course, Obama said that he would do that if he was
yes,
president.
He did. He said that he would.
So, you know, if it proceeds, I don't see him saying, well, we didn't mean it.
Yeah. Well, he might. I don't know.
Yes, I know. I know, yeah. You know, Hugo Chavez likes Obama, but I really don't think they'd get along as bosom buddies.
I have this strange feeling.
I just can't imagine, you know, a redneck like Chavez. And sorry, I don't mean to offend all the rednecks, but
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You know, a redneck like Chavez would have anything to say of interest to Obama. You know.
Well, yeah. And which brings up another comment from our loony left in Hollywood. Sean Penn apparently opened his mouth and farted and said, gosh, he thinks that people that refer to Hugo Chavez as a dictator ought to be put in jail.
And now we understand why Sean Penn thinks that Hugo Chavez is a perfectly okay guy.
Yeah, yeah.
The Armenian genocide occurred at the end of World War
One.
Turkey, actually, it wasn't Turkey. It was the Ottoman Empire.
Yes, it was.
The Ottoman Empire was falling apart at the seams, and a section of the empire, the Armenians, were real thorns in the Ottomans' side, and they did basically what Japan did in World War II was a Bataan Death March of 100,000 Armenians out of their ancestral homes, they killed them between marching them, starving them, you know, forcing them out refugees wise. I think it was, here's the problem. One, it was not Turkey committing genocide against the Armenians.
No, it was the Ottoman Empire.
It was the Ottoman Empire which preceded,
yep.
You know, Turkey. Turkey is much more a consequence of World War II than it was the breakup of the Ottoman Empire. I mean, it was kind of a mess between World War One and World War Two.
Yes, it was.
So by that token, I can understand, politically, not, draping that around Turkey's neck. However,
sure.
However, Turkey could easily say that, a segment of the society that existed before Turkey did, that happened to reside in part of what is now considered Turkey, did in fact attempt to commit genocide against a indigenous population.
Yes.
I think it can be said, but it's just politically not possible. say it, get it over with. It's not like anybody's going to give them a big deal. Of course, you know, the Armenians, once they get that, then they want reparations.
Well, of course. I mean, everybody wants reparations at this point.
Everybody wants money from somebody.
Oh, yeah. You betcha.
So,
give me.
It was, you know, Obama said he was going to do it before he became president. You know, I don't understand why it's being delayed, but this process is continuing. Turkey is obviously pissed about it. You know, frankly, myself, I'm not too upset with tweaking Turkey a little bit after that bullshit with Iran.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Iraq and letting, you know, not letting the troops come in from the north.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Turkey certainly suffered no consequences from that act. I'm still willing to, you know, as a matter of fact, that's what I would do if I was president, is I'd go to the Turkish president and I'd take him off to the side and I'm going to go like, you know, here's what I have to say. You know, I don't think it's right that we should be saying that Turkey committed genocide, you know, but you fucked us on the northern, you know, pipe for the troops, so, you know, suck it up, dude.
Yeah, there you go.
You know,
I don't know that that's in his vocabulary, suck it up, you know.
Well, he certainly doesn't have the balls for it, so.
No, he doesn't.
All right. Something happened here in the last week or so I just wanted to call attention to. Hersey Alley was in the University of Wisconsin here giving a speech on Islam.
Oh, yeah?
The evil of Islam. It was very well attended. Unfortunately, for some unknown reason, the Muslim Student Association decided to boycott the speech. I wonder why.
Yeah, gee, I wonder.
and you know what? I wanted to tweak, you know, the nose, you know, the head of the Muslim student organization said that if she had her way, by the time everybody finished with her lecture, everybody would think that Islam was evil. And I wanted to send him an email and kind of go, duh. You know, but then I thought, you know, I don't necessarily want to get into that fight around here.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but then I thought, why should I not be interested in getting into that fight around here? And I went to look up his email address, and I thought it was really funny, because on the Muslim Student Association website, they showed him as the president. His name is Dar. Last name is Dar.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, he is President Extraordinaire. Is his title.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, woo! Oh,
really?
So I'm still thinking about whether I want to tweak him or not. I haven't decided.
Oh, I mean, you know, this is propaganda.
You know, liberal Muslims can be so conservative sometimes. So, have you heard anything about this national ID card coming back up again?
I have. Apparently, it is a part of the brand new, never before heard of, comprehensive immigration reform.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. And apparently the way that is being devised at this time to make sure that any subsequent illegal immigrants don't have an opportunity to work in the United States is to issue a national ID card for those people who are authorized to be here.
No, the Republicans tried to get immigration reform through, and, you know, conservatives just about lynched them.
Yep.
I hate to use that phrasing when it comes to the Democrats.
Oh, yeah. Well, yes, of course. Know, racist!
You know, maybe I'll just take a page off of Dan Rather.
Aha! Uh-huh. Something about selling watermelons.
But, going back to immigration reform, please, Barack Obama, please attempt to bring comprehensive immigration reform back to the forefront.
Oh, yeah. Oh, please.
Then I have a really good reason to go get, you know, what's his name? I always want to say Leslie Graham. Not right.
Lindsey
Graham from South Carolina.
Yep.
And I'd be kind of interested in lynching.
Yeah, he'd be okay.
You know, for kind of dredging up that kind of crap.
I his tongue sticking out of his mouth there would be kind of, that'd be cute. I mean, it wouldn't be as good as John Edwards, I admit, not enough hair, but nevertheless, it'd be cute.
Please, go ahead.
Right.
At the rate Barack Obama is going, there will be no Democratic Party by November.
Oh, man. This absolutely baffles me, and it has for the past, I don't know, 6 months. It continues to, and I am not sure that I'm going to get a resolution on it. But it just is absolutely incomprehensible to me that you would take a failed strategy, a failed policy, and you would not only double down on it, you would quadruple down on it. He gave his 38th speech in a year regarding health care today. 38! I mean,
he lost me at number one, so I don't know.
Oh, man, it's kind of like, yeah, okay, no thank you, I don't want any part of that. And what the hell part of no don't any of them understand?
But it's the typical mindset of the liberal.
Well, it is. Yes, it is.
If you have the information, this is not my words, this is what a liberal thinks.
Yes.
Liberal thinks that if you have the information they do, and you have access to the smart thinking people that they do, that there is no way, if you're an intelligent, rational person, that you could come to any conclusion different than the one they do.
Yeah.
With you either have to be an idiot or evil, because you must come to the same conclusion they did, because that's the only possible conclusion that's possible.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It is pure stupidity. Pure stupidity.
Yes, it is. What they are telling the American people who oppose this thing, I don't know, 56% to 44%, something like that. What they're telling the American people is, you people are too stupid to figure it out. And because you're too stupid, you need keepers and minders, and we will provide them for you. So just sit down, shut up, and like it. Now, I can't think of anything that would hurt them worse than saying those words. Nothing. There isn't anything that would hurt them worse than telling the American people, you're too stupid, you don't understand it, sit down, shut up.
I have an explanation.
Uh-huh. I'm happy to hear it.
We have 17 minutes. I might be able to get it done in that time.
Okay.
I have to tell you a story about my past.
Aha.
Uh-huh. When I was in the military, I was an air traffic controller.
Yep.
Have I told you this story? I may have told you this.
Well, I've heard a lot of stories. I don't know if I've heard this one.
Okay. Here's the deal. As an air traffic controller, I went through my training period, and I was getting close to the point of being certified.
Cool.
Probably within a month. And I was working the primary position, and it was an odd day. It really was an odd day. There was a lot of people in the radar facility that day. It was a radar control facility. It wasn't a tower. And I actually had a senior controller as my assistant.
Aha!
Now, I sit in front of the radar screen and tell the pilots what to do.
Right.
My assistant sits next to me and keeps track of what planes are in what position and where they need to go, information-wise. They're called strips, and the strips have information about each flight on them. Okay?
Okay.
And that senior controller is supposed to keep that up. Also, when new planes are heading into our area, he accepts control for me, you know, when it's appropriate.
Okay.
Now, different airplanes have different profiles.
Sure.
Okay. And it's really hard to have, when you want to bring planes in for landing, to have a fighter jet following in behind a helicopter.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't care how much of a head start that helicopter is, that jet's going to come up its ass in a heartbeat.
Yes, it is.
Okay. So you need to be careful. But if you have helicopters in the flight plan and fighter jets in the flight plan and cargo planes in the flight plan, it becomes a real mess you need to work with.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's what I had. I had a flight of two helicopters. I had two separate cargo planes, a C-130 and a C-141. And I had two flights of F-4s, a two-bird and a four-bird flight. And my assistant controller, and I had them balanced, carefully balanced, but they were balanced. And I was working it. My assistant accepted a flight of F-105 interceptors.
Oh, boy.
Now the 105, sorry, it wasn't 105, it was 106 interceptors coming in. And, you know, he took them at a place where they really just, they were going to be a problem. He should not have accepted them. He should have told them to either send them to the tower or take them back out from our airspace and let us, you know, sequence them in. But he took them, and it really screwed up my pattern really bad.
Yeah, I would think, yeah.
To try and fit them in.
Anybody low on fuel, by the way?
No.
Oh, okay.
But the interceptors were on attack and approach. You don't break them out. That's an instrument approach. It's not a controlled approach. It's an instrument approach. And once they're on an instrument approach, you don't want to take them off it. There's a specific reason they're on instrument approach, and you just don't want to do it. And they were on instrument approach, which means they pretty much had to come straight in. And that was a problem because I had a cargo plane on mid-final, and I had the helicopters coming in behind him.
Ooh.
And there was no way I could probably get the cargo plane in ahead of the interceptors, but there was no way in hell I was getting the helicopters in.
Yeah.
Just wasn't going to happen. Okay. Now, because I was, quote-unquote, a trainee, what happened was a senior controller who was plugged in behind me told me to do something with the set of planes. It was inconsistent with what I was trying to do, but I was a trainee and did it. Okay? The second it did it, everything else got screwed up.
Oh, boy.
Okay? Now, what I started to do was because, first of all, I now had a total of 8 flights in the pattern and disparate aircraft completely all over the place.
Yep.
And because somebody else was now jumping into there, I tried to reorganize, you know, the pattern.
Sure.
The problem was my plan for the pattern wasn't the same as the senior controller behind me. And we started, because both of us kept talking to planes, okay, we started creating a situation where we were not compatible with each other.
Yep.
Things went from not good to bad pretty fast. as is wont to happen when you've got lots of planes traveling at 200 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Especially in an airspace that's only 15 miles in diameter. Anyways, 3 minutes into this, they yanked me out of the chair and unplugged me. And proceeded to, try and clean up the mess. We had 2 airspace violations in 3 minutes.
Ouch.
Now, those are really, really bad things to have. Mm-hmm. None of the planes were in danger, but the airspace violations are airspace violations.
Yep.
So when everything was all cleared and done, senior controller and the head of the GCA came to meet me and said, what the hell were you doing? And I said, I thought I had things pretty much under control until Jim brought in that, you know, flight that should never have been brought in. Right. Yeah, but you did this. I said, well, it made perfect sense for me to do this, but I was doing this. I said, but you didn't tell me that. You know, anyways, that was my last day as an air traffic controller.
Is that right?
It was absolutely my last day as an air traffic controller. Here's why it applies to this situation.
Okay.
In each one of those instances where I told a pilot to take his plane or his craft in a specific way,
mm-hmm.
okay, it was perfectly appropriate for that plane at that moment to do that thing.
Okay.
But within the full context of what was going on, it created problems. Because things had got disrupted, I had lost the big picture.
Okay.
And I was still working on individual pieces of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And because I was not consistent with the big picture.
Situation.
That's what's going
on
with Barack Obama. He's a trainee that has gotten out of his league, and what he thought was going to happen isn't. You know, he thought he was king of the country, and whatever he said happened. Okay, which I think is a big mistake that leftists always make, liberals always make.
Well, sure.
They think the president of the United States is king of the United States, when in fact he's simply the head of the executive branch of our government. Okay? Barack Obama has lost the big picture. And being a trainee and unable to reacquire the big picture,
mm-hmm.
is focusing on individual pieces that no longer make sense in the big picture. He has no way to be around it, no way to change that. Because he doesn't know. He's a trainee. And his on-the-job training, you know, will just continue to make a bad situation worse.
Mm-hmm.
Because he has no
mm-hmm.
other way to behave. And people like Rahm Emanuel and Axelrod are no better. So they are not able to give him any heads up on how to fix the problem that he's gotten himself into. And he will continue to focus in on specific things, even though in the big picture, it's lost. It's over.
Huh. That's a really interesting analogy. And so Pelosi and Reid are like the senior ATCs, and they're giving directions, and he's trying to give directions, and he's completely lost his situational awareness.
Yeah, completely.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's what happens, you know, it's what happens when multiple voices try to be in control.
Yep.
You know, and that was the problem. Instead of a controller putting his hand on my shoulder and going, you know, I recommend you do this,
mm-hmm.
The senior controller just jumped in and changed things. You know,
yep.
Part of the advantage that senior controller had was the fact that they were standing behind me and not, you know, being focused in. They could spend time looking at the big picture
yep.
and try to figure out a way to integrate that extra flight into the plan
mm-hmm.
because they didn't have to worry about controlling the individual planes.
Exactly.
And then once they made that decision, you know, they either needed to cut me out of it or bring me up to speed on it.
One or the other.
Now, I'm not trying at all to take away from the fact that I made a mistake.
Right.
That it was, in fact, you know, inexperience and the fact that I was a trainee. Although I'd been a trainee for a year at that point, so it wasn't like I was an inexperienced trainee.
Mm-hmm.
It was a point where it was clear that I had lost the big picture because of the problems, and then it was made worse by a bad process of getting back involved in it.
Yep.
So, you know, that's what I think, you know, a president has to do. A president has to keep the big picture in there. You know, he has to keep in mind what that end game is, and you know, I don't think Barack Obama has an end game. I think he has peace moves, but I don't think he has an end game. And
you don't think passage of the health care bill is an end game? I mean,
no, I think that's a piece. I think it's a piece.
Ah, okay.
You know, it's a piece move. And he doesn't. There's no way for him to think strategically.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing in his experience that gives him the ability to think strategically.
Well, that's true. I don't dispute that.
And with no strategic thought, there's no tactical plan. And I hate to say it, there's a reason why, military leaders, tend to be good leaders, is because, they've got the experience of having that process built into the way they function.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Executives learn to start handing off the tactical moves and maintaining the strategic moves to themselves. He's got none of that experience. There's nothing in his background that gives him that kind of experience. He doesn't know when to hand off tactical moves, create the strategy, express the strategy, and then focus, your people on the tactical moves. He doesn't do it. Everything is piece move, piece move, piece move. And taken in and by themselves, it makes sense for those particular things. It makes sense for me, for his point of view on healthcare. Focus in on healthcare, get it done, and people will be okay.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing strategic about it, looking at the bigger picture, how much damage he's doing to the bigger picture. Mm-hmm. People wanted a change in the way our government acted.
Yes.
Okay. Barack Obama is not changing how government has acted. As a matter of fact, the biggest complaint the left made about, George Bush over 8 years was that he was unilateral.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That he was going without anybody else's going, without anybody else taking along. Barack Obama is doing exactly the same thing.
Yes, he is.
Well, let me rephrase that. I don't think George Bush acted unilaterally anywhere.
Well, I don't either.
Unless you want to consider Harriet Meyer.
Complaint.
Right, it was just a complaint. Unless you want to consider something like Harriet Meyer's, which was the tactical error for certain.
Well, for sure. But he got brought up short on that, and he said, you know what? I really got to do something else.
Right. Yeah. He had his plan. That tactical event did not work, so, reassess, a different tactic, but maintain the strategic plan.
Mm-hmm.
There's no strategic plan in the Obama administration. None. I don't see any evidence that there's one. There's a whole lot of tactical moves that he was wanting to take, but I don't see there. And, of course, somebody could say, well, the strategic move is to take control, of the United States, the government to take control over individual people. But, you talk to the left, they're not interested in, individual control. They don't perceive what they're doing as an infringement on individual liberties. They see it as helping the people that can't do it themselves.
Hmm.
So if you sit there and say the strategic move is to take over the control of individual behavior, that's not what they think they're doing. It's not a strategic plan per se. We see it as that because that's the consequences.
Right.
Conservatives
right.
have a tendency to spend a lot more, pay more, a lot of attention to the consequences rather than just the result.
Exactly.
So it's in our nature to look at it differently than they do.
Yeah.
But it is clear to me that that they lack that strategic vision. I don't think that they have one. And I'm certain that Bush's strategic vision changed dramatically on September 11th.
Hmm.
I don't know. I don't remember enough about what it was. Anyways, we got 40 seconds. Go ahead. Say hello.
Hey, hello to Just Me Pammy, to Arkansas Traveler, to Mama Gurkha, to Louisa Ma. Thanks for listening, and we will catch you next week, and you can catch the Green Room on the archives.
Yeah, follow us up on the archives.
You bet.
Because we talk more. We just keep right on going after the show.
Yes, we do.
We hear a lot more stuff. we'll talk about more about the Ramanation
Oh boy.
Next week, because I think that's something that's going to continue to progress. And we'll have some more fun with that next week.
Yeah, cool.
Bill, talk to you then.
You too.
Green room.
Okay. You know, that was a really interesting analogy. I like that perspective on it.
You know, it took me a lot of years to be able to reevaluate that event in a way that, you know, did not lessen my involvement or explain away or excuse my actions in any way.
Uh-huh.
But at the same token, to actually be, you know, honest about the event and, you know, what happened in there, I had to, because 6 months later I sat in front of a review board.
Oh, boy.
And I had to explain myself to that review board. And while my response to the review board was fundamentally, as I explained it today, I wasn't as clear about certain aspects about it then. It took me years to be able to get that clear about it. But my point was that, to the review board, was that I had lost the big picture, that the addition of the additional aircraft had disrupted the pattern in such a way as to create some confusion in my head, which probably would have been okay until the senior controller stepped in and started telling planes to do stuff, and I did not have that pattern in my head, whatever was in that senior controller's head, and from that point on, we were at loggerheads against each other.
Right.
We were actually working against each other, and until they yanked me out, you know, I continued to try and reassert control over the pattern, but it was it was not consistent with the pattern that the senior controller was trying to assert, and we were actually at that point doing damage to each other.
Sure.
As senior controller, I should have, you know, slid out of the position and let him have it, but I had not been relieved from my position at that point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me to sit back and let him control it was inappropriate, in my opinion.
Well, sure.
Until I was relieved, it was my responsibility.
Yeah.
That was my position. And as a matter of fact, the review board recommended that I be reinstated.
Cool. And were you?
Go to hell.
Yeah, right. Thank you very much.
Thanks. No thanks. No. You know, great. Spent, you know, 6 months out of the chair, and I've spent six more months as a trainee.
Yeah, you know, exactly. Yeah.
You know, at that point, I would have been in the service 3 years. As a five level for just a year, I said no.
Yeah.
I said no, and then that started a whole other chain of events that ended up with somebody in jail.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, because what actually was part of the problem with the review board was the personnel officer assigned to my case on the review board.
Yeah.
Told the review board that I wanted to be reinstated.
Oh, really?
And that was not what I wanted. And I specifically told the officer that I was not interested in being reinstated. And he said that I wanted to be reinstated and that was my preferred thing to do. So the review board said, go ahead and reinstate. And when the review board told me that they were going to recommend reinstatement, I said, that's not what I want. They turned on him and wanted to know what the hell he was talking about.
Really?
Yeah. And I said, that's not what I was interested in doing. I've been out of it for 6 months. It would require another 6 months worth of training time. I said, at this point, you know, reassign me to something else. We came out of that review board. Senior controller, the guy that was actually at my shoulder, you know, because, you know, he had to testify also, said, what's going on? I said, you know, he told me he told the review board that I want to be reinstated. He goes, you don't? I said, no, I don't. He goes, you guys threw me out to dry. I said, you know, I understand why you did it and stuff like that, but I got no interest in going back and spending another 6 months or a year as a trainee.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Reassign me out somewhere else. It just, you know, leave me where I'm at. I'm happy with doing what I'm doing. You know, because they had put me in another position while I was on, you know,
sure.
in review.
Sure.
And I liked doing what I was doing. And I said, leave me there. You know, I'm perfectly content to spend the next 18 months there. By that time, the personnel officer had come out of the review thing, and he was pissed at me, just absolutely pissed. He goes, "You made me look like shit in there." I'm like, "You told him something I didn't ever tell you."
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and what would happen is, I don't remember the exact sequence of events at this point. It's been almost 30 years.
Yeah.
But what would happen is that personnel officer, they wouldn't let me stay where I was, so they reassigned me to another squadron on base to do something else.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And about 3 months into that, in that position, in that squadron, I got stuck off base. I was about 30 miles off base, and I was not going to be able to get back to base on time. And I knew that it was a Sunday, and I knew I was going to have a problem getting back to base by Monday. So I called my base and asked for a day of leave.
Okay.
But I didn't get a hold of my supervisor until early Monday morning,
uh-huh.
about 4 hours before my duty shift.
Yeah.
And I said, I have leave, you know, please give me a day, you know, I'll be able to get back up there today once I can get the car fixed, you know, now that it's not Sunday, and I'll be back up. Well, it turned out that I was approved, and that was fine, and I took things up. When I got back up to base the next day, I was arrested.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
For?
AWOL.
Really?
Apparently, the first sergeant of the new squadron called the first sergeant of my old squadron and said, you know, what kind of troop is she? And
sure.
me and the first sergeant of the old squadron had butted heads for 2 years. And he said, she's a pain in the ass I've been trying to get for a year and a half. Well, they withdrew my day of leave request and wrote me down as AWOL, and here was what the problem was. Because I was AWOL, I got an Article 15, non-judicial punishment.
Right.
Okay. Because I was put on administrative hold with the Article 15,
mm-hmm.
I was canceled from the training school that I was set to go to in 2 weeks. Because I was put on administrative hold. Well, I missed that school. Because I was in administrative hold.
mm-hmm.
Once I missed that school, the squadron had no use for me anymore.
Ah.
So, the squadron kicked me back to the old squadron.
Okay.
Now, all this is fine and good, except for, rather than just show that I was transferred to the new squadron and then transferred back to the old squadron,
mm-hmm.
the two first sergeants got together with the personnel officer, and they backdated my orders.
Oh, really?
So that I appear never to have been assigned to that new squadron.
Huh.
Do you understand what the problem was at that point?
Well, sure. You weren't assigned to that squadron, and you weren't at your old squadron.
Well, the problem was I wasn't assigned to that squadron ever according to the rules. That means that squadron had no authority to give me the Article 15.
Mm-hmm.
I was never under the command.
Yeah.
So I asked the commander of that old new squadron
mm-hmm.
to rescind the Article 15. She refused.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was in writing. It was a formal request to rescind it because I was never under her formal command.
Right.
And she refused. In writing, she refused. I went to my old squadron, which was now my new squadron, and told them to rescind the Article 15. In writing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was never outside of their command, and another command doesn't do an Article 15 on somebody under your command.
Right.
They refused.
Hmm.
I went to the base legal office.
Mm-hmm.
They refused to take the case.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So then I went to the base IG. Base IG refused to take the case.
Hmm.
Then I went to the base commander, a one-star general.
Mm-hmm.
Made formal requests for the one-star general, who denied the request. And then I went to the tactical commander, who was a two-star general on the base.
Mm-hmm.
Made the same request. Denied. Now, that took almost a year to do all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was 3 months from being done with my 4 years.
Okay.
And then we had an IG inspection alert. That means Pentagon IG showing up on the base for a two-week evaluation.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in the communications squadron. And so there was exactly 7 people on the base that knew that, that IG was coming. And I was one of them. Because my job in the communication squadron was to make sure that all the phones were set up for them. So I got the orders to set up the phones for the IG before they showed up.
Mm-hmm.
Guess who showed up 20 minutes after the IG walked into their offices? With a very large stack of paper. 4 hours later, the IG told me to, the Pentagon IG told me to return to my squadron and that they would take care of it.
Ooh.
10 days later, a letter of reprimand was issued to the tactical commander. A letter of reprimand was issued to the base commander. A letter of censure was issued to the base IG and the base legal office.
Oh.
And a letter of censure to my commander and to the new old squadron commanders will get letters of censure. And because they backdated the orders, which is
mm-hmm.
a federal offense,
mm-hmm.
They arrested and convicted the base personnel officer 2 years Leavenworth.
Oh, my goodness.
And then they called me back in. And they said, you have 63 days worth of leave, and you have 71 days left in service. It's going to take 7 days to process you out, but we strongly suggest that you take terminal leave. And seeing as how you live closer to this other base, that you go ahead and continue to use that other base while you're on terminal leave to do whatever things you need to do, but that you not return to this base again.
Mm.
Because we have spent so much time working on this that we're going to be back here in 4 weeks for a 3-week thorough evaluation.
Wow.
I ruined 5 careers and, of course, got one person arrested.
Yep.
I left that base 5 days later. Oh, by the way,
yeah.
I was restored and the Article 15 was rescinded.
Cool.
And I was restored to rank. And 14 months worth of pay.
Oh, that's nice.
I left with a very nice check.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, by the way, normal requirements are that after you serve your 4 years, you have to serve 2 years of inactive.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't require me to do that.
Really? They just busted
you loose.
Yeah,
they wanted to make sure nobody could yank me back in.
Wow.
So, anyways, yeah. Interesting story in my life. I enjoyed the military. I think it was great. I did a lot of damage before I left.
Yeah. That's cool. I like that. I particularly like the letters of censure and reprimand. That was good.
Oh, we're off the air.
Oh, we are?
Yep.
Jesus.
I don't know when that happened.
I don't know when that happened either, because it's only been about 15 minutes.
Yeah. Hang on a minute, all right?
Yeah. Well, it's getting pretty white out there.
Oh, it is?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll call you later.
Okay. Talk to you a bit. Bye-bye.